Hi, this is Bob, and today I have an interview with Alchemy Fire. Alchemy Fire has released their self-titled debut, a heavy progressive metal album that is all killer and no filler. And here is my interview with Alchemy Fire.
Well, I wanted to thank you guys for taking time to speak with me today.
Sure. It's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the creative process for Between the Shadows. How long did it take to put the material together?
We started writing songs. What was it, Jerry? Something like 2022. Is that right?
Yeah. It was basically in the middle of COVID, I think. Not long after the release of the previous album, you started taking the guitar back out of the storage. And yeah. You had so much time, Roman. And you started riffing again. And suddenly Roman sending all over these riffs in the chat. And we were like, wow, holy shit, what's going on here?
And I wanted to ask you guys about the track With You Forever. Is that track personal in nature?
Yes, but it's Eric's personal nature song. So he's not here. We cannot exactly tell you what his idea was behind that song. But what I can tell you is that this song was the first one written for the album. And it was completely different. It sounded completely different, and it had a different name. And the process, like in when we recorded it, it evolved like in the song, which is now With You Forever. But it started completely different.
And I think the song is the perfect single for the band because it expresses so much emotion, and it encaptures you through the progressions of the song.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks.
That means a lot. I still can remember when we recorded the song in Sweden. We had some iterations regarding the vocal line and what end up to be like one of these great... my personal view, one of the greatest 80s kind of song on the album.
Another track I wanted to discuss with you is Dina. It's another one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Cool, yeah. It was the first single we that came out from the new album. And this one is about a girl, obviously, Dina. And it's about a girl which is like stressed out and nervous about things about her life, and another dude coming into her life and tries to calm her down, telling her to chill and to that everything is going to be all right.
I wanted to ask you about the album artwork and the artist that was involved. Can you speak to me about the process?
Yeah, the album artwork was from a girl called Vili. She's a Argentinian, and she actually already did some artwork, like merch artwork, shirt designs for survivors, and. So we had a really good experience with her, and we asked her if she felt like doing a whole album artwork and like design for everything which is related to Between the Shadows. And so she did so, and we are pretty happy about that.
And what's the next step for the band? What can fans look for next?
Well, the next big step is the album release show, we had to plan it like that, that like the album came out on 12th of April and our release show is on the 31st of May, and with some special guests, and there will be Guernica. I don't know if you know Survivors, our last album. She was a guest singer on the album, and she's joining from Stockholm that night. So we are really looking forward to that. And we got another special guest this on this night, which is Tommy Henriksen. He's the guitar player of Alice Cooper and Hollywood Vampires. So it's definitely going to be a crazy night.
Yeah.
And can you give me any insight on the set list?
Well, we would give you an insight, but we don't know yet.
I mean, for sure, we want to present a lot of new songs, but of course, warm up the whole show with a couple of old ones, and of course, a couple of surprises in between.
I also wanted to ask you both if you could speak on your musical development, at what age you began.
Yeah, so Roman and I, we had quite a similar musical career in terms of instruments, at least. I think it started when I was 7 with violin. Played that for, I don't know, like 8-9 years. Then I had a period where I started learning trombone and trumpet and did all this marching band stuff. And then ended up with the electric guitar when I was 14 and played in rock band ever since.
Yeah, I had I also started with the violin, which is funny enough. And then I switched to drums when I was 13. And I played the drums for a couple of years. But I found out that there is so many drummers around and not as many guitar players, so I switched to guitar. And since I'm like 15 now, I play the guitar, and also I played in bands, not really like known bands or something, but I took it serious like ever since. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you if you could give me a band history as well.
Sure. The band was founded 2012 with three other guys which aren't in the band anymore. So I'm the only survivor of the very beginning of King Zebra. And then Jerry joined 2 years later, and Eric joined 2017. And the youngest band member is Manu. He's the bass player. And so that was 2019. And that means like for the last 5 years, the band lineup is pretty stable. And we don't think to change the lineup again, because we really found ourselves, each other, and we are really happy like that.
Yeah, and I think it really shows on the release. Thanks. I wanted to ask you if you could tell me, how did the name King Zebra become a reality?
Yeah, that's funny, because there is actually no story behind King Zebra. We were like always listened to bands like White Lion, Def Leppard, and all the great bands who had like animals in their band name, and for me it always, those were the biggest and best bands for me. So it was clear from the beginning for me, I wanted to have a band name which has an animal in it, and as there are so many band names with animals already, it was the zebra, which is a cool animal. It looks cool, that the animal print thing looks cool. And so it's basically it's just a cool name.
I wanted to ask you each if you could speak on what has been the best advice that's been given to you along your musical journey.
The best advice. Maybe it wasn't an advice, but it was like something I figured out during our musical journey. It was, if I could tell something to young bands, don't try to do everything by yourself. Trust your producer and trust the people who can do things better than yourself. So that means, if you're a good songwriter, but you're not a good, let's say, marketing or manager or whatever, let somebody else do it because that's their business. So try to outsource stuff which you're not good in and try to concentrate on stuff you're really good in. And that was a point where King Zebra became better because we didn't try to do everything by ourselves.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And my advice is a similar thing. My advice to bands that want to get success is invest as much as time possible into songwriting. I think a lot of bands, they think some half-baked demo tapes are sufficient enough to go to an album or for a release. But actually, if the song is great and if the song is playable in front of a large or small audience, then the success will eventually come along. But yeah, I mean, nowadays, you have the feeling that you have to invest a lot of in social media and in promotion and the production around the band. But sometimes you lose focus on the core part of the band, which is basically the music and the songs. So as long as the songs are good, the rest will come.
And speaking on that, I'm 58, I've been around the music scene for a long time, and I don't know your ages. Unfortunately, I didn't look them up, but I wanted to ask you, as far as your experience as a member of a band today, how do you feel is the shape of the industry today as compared to yesterday?
We also needed Eric here because he's from the 80s too. He's 63 years old. We are a little younger. We are around 40s. And I would say there is a big chance to get hurt, even if you're like in compared to as it was earlier, because you have everybody can upload stuff on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever, can distribute their music by themselves. But it's so much harder to get hurt because of the load of music which comes like when you like just browsing on those platforms. But for us, definitely it was a positive thing. To like spread, to get heard, to reach the right people, which brings us further. I'd say I see it as a positive thing.
Sure, and I think there's a giveaway and takeaway from both eras because, you know, the $1 million contracts are gone, but the fact that you can be heard from such a large variety of platforms is definitely beneficial. I think it makes it harder for a person like me to separate the men from the boys. in interviewing you, you guys definitely have the goods. And that's why we're speaking today, because I want to get the word out.
Yeah.
And I think it almost takes a mediator these days to separate the best from the rest.
Yeah, totally. And it also like needs the right people, like you can be like as Jerry said before, like if you have really good music, it will get heard, but there is a chance it doesn't get heard like from all the people or from the right people that brings you further and you play bigger shows and sell more records and whatever. So you still need, and that's maybe a point that it's still the same as it was earlier, you still need a label. Sure. And you need a publicist and you need all those people, but still the music is your base. So if this one is good, you will find the rest.
I wanted to ask you both, when you're not working on music, do you have any hobbies that you enjoy in your spare time?
Oh, yeah. My hobby is working. No, I mean, we are all very passionate with music. And of course, it's not enough at the moment to just live out of music. So we still have to work. But besides that, I do a little bit of sports. I have a small dog that needs a lot of attention. And yeah, just enjoy life besides working. But yeah, fortunately enough, we have the music as the biggest hobby.
Yeah, same here. And some of us have kids. So we have families. We have friends here. We really try to enjoy our lives besides music and besides working.
And what is the best way to get merchandise from the band?
Merchandise is a difficult topic because it's such a pain in the ass, like to send around merch if you don't have like a distributor who does it professionally. So for the bands themselves to send it around the world, it's just too expensive, too much work for not enough money. So I'd say the best way to get merch, buy tickets to our shows. You can get it there. And we have, at the moment, our online shop is through Frontiers, through our label. And you just get CDs and vinyl there. And if you want to have some shirts and other stuff, you have to be patient for a little while. We are working on a new online shop. And we'll definitely send out merch in near future again.
That's great, because I'm looking forward to that myself.
Nice.
Great. We will send you something for sure.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give a message to your fans, what would that message be?
Oh, that's really simple. I mean, let's have just fun together. Don't hate each other. Just go out and stick together, because the industry won't do it for us. We have to do it ourselves.
Well, I wanted to take a moment to thank you for, number one, creating an album that I enjoyed from top to bottom. It is hard for me to pick two tracks to discuss.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And second, I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, my friends.
It was a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for your invitation.
Yes, and hi to everybody who's listening to your channel.
Well, thank you, my friends, and you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye, Robert.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to thank you for taking time to listen to today's podcast. You can sponsor the podcast. Just click that button and you can be a member of the family. And remember, come see me for a fix.